It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. And Damon coming off a really tough series out at Bemidji. I don't think any of us thought going into it that we would lose 7-1, 5-1. You can lose to them. They're a pretty darn good hockey team, especially on their own ice. But they just kind of blew us away on the weekend, and now we got to recover from that and play a heck of a lot better. We got Michigan Tech coming in here this weekend.
Yeah, no question. Tough results and not the way you want a weekend to go, obviously. And, give them credit. I thought they played well for sure. And, we're a motivated group. And, we certainly weren't, probably played the way the scores indicate when you look back and break things down and break down scoring chances, opportunities, things like that. It definitely wasn't that kind of a game. But we have to regroup, like you said, behind us. And nobody feels good about it. Extremely disappointing, extremely frustrating, and a lot to learn from that weekend. And that's really the key moving forward, is you have to take those lessons. We have to do a better job. I have to do a better job with our approach and our preparation for our players, really across the board. And, that's been the focus all week here, is correcting a couple areas. We're not, I don't think the score is very indicative of the way that series went, but that's what the score is. And so you have to react, you have to regroup, and we have to grow from that. So we're working on a couple areas for sure. Obviously, some areas that we need to be way better in, but we're going to see a team that does a lot of same things in terms of the way they defend structurally in their own zone, a team that's quick to outnumber, quick to surround. I thought they've played really well. Michigan Tech has. I've watched a lot of their games early on here, as we do most of our opponents. But, watching them play, there's some similarities to their game. And, we're going to have to be a heck of a lot better this weekend to get this turned around and get a win Friday night.
Yeah, you look at this Bemidji series for just a minute again. Fans get on you. They want to know what the coaching staff's doing to make changes so we're better, et cetera. What can you do? I mean, you can only coach so much, and you work on things every day in practice. You try to work on the power play, the penalty kill. Our figures aren't all that bad on those special teams areas. It's goaltending where our figures are not good at all. We're really, really behind the eight ball there, and we're just allowing way too many goals.
Yeah, no question. And it's interesting, I think most coaches, we don't spend times on blogs and, social media, things like that, because the way that goes. And, but there's some interesting, you can anticipate some of the questions, some of the things that's going on. And so I was thinking about that a little bit, obviously anticipating questions from radio show and fans and things like that. And that's part of it. I think one thing fans don't, maybe get the benefit to see behind the scenes is, there's a locker room to deal with, right? It's not just you show up and then roll numbers out or pick numbers out of a hat. There's a whole locker room you're managing and working with. We have 30 players, and you have to deal with each one of those guys and understand their backgrounds, their histories, what they're dealing with in their personal lives. So I think that's been part of our approach here early on. We've tried to be patient with some guys in some certain areas that they have what we call money in the bank. We have guys that have proven it in the past, that have played at this level, done a good job, maybe aren't having the years that we would like or that they would like, and so you're trying to manage how much opportunity they get and when you make some decisions or make some changes in lineup and things like that. So that's maybe part of it that fans don't really get. Again, they're just, you don't live it day to day. You're not in that locker room to see what these guys have sacrificed and put in to get a chance to play or to maybe hold on to a role and opportunity. So that does change things a little bit, but you can't be patient forever. The results are obviously very important. These are college athletes, so I'm not going to sit here and get on individuals. This isn't pro sports. And so ultimately it does fall to the head coach. I'm the one that can take the criticism and needs to take the criticism, and I'm okay with that. There's areas we need to do a better job on, and again, that falls on me to have the right people in place to do those areas or to make the right decisions or to recruit the right people. And I think we have those people. I like this team. I like this locker room. The kids are doing a really good job of battling through this this stretch that's frustrating and difficult. You know, you mentioned the stats in some areas, and I think that's really important. You know, there's a couple areas where, you know, you need some consistency. You have to be good in to have any chance of success, and that's one of them. So, you know, we're going to work with them. We're going to keep sticking by these guys and getting them back on track. You know, we know they've got the ability to impact the game and be a very, you know, positive player for our lineup and in our league and across the NCAA. So we've just got to get them back on track. You know, we've got to rebuild confidence a little bit, you know, and find the right answer in that area. So, you know, we're okay. Are we happy? No, we're not happy. But our team is in this thing together, and they're, you know, they're sticking through it, and they're going to hold each other accountable and also support each other. And that's really what we're trying to do is, you know, find those right pieces to make it happen. So, you know, we're not as far away as those scores show, but it won't be easy either. Michigan Tech's a really good team. I think Joey's done a good job. You know, they're a little bit youthful in some of their impact guys and where they get some of their critical scoring. So we want to take advantage of that, or, you know, try to take advantage of that. But it's going to be another hard-fought series. And if we're not, you know, better across the board, it's going to be a similar result. But I think we have the team that can handle it, that can rebound. Our best players are going to really have to lead and take, you know, charge of our locker room, as they are doing, and they're doing a good job of that. We're just not getting the results. And it starts with getting the puck out of the back of our net. It's not on one position group. It's not on one guy. It's on, you know, starting again with me and our structure. But, you know, we can't give up the easy offense we've given up. It's really hurt our team.
Yeah, you got some guys on this team who, you know, they're seniors, and I'm looking at, in particular, Brendan McKay and Brian Basilico. They're struggling right now. They're not getting points. I think they both thought they were going to have pretty good years. Last year, Brian had 5 goals. I think he probably, if you asked him going into the season this year, he'd like to at least double that output. He is a senior, but it hasn't happened, and so now you wonder, like, these are leadership guys, and they're not really personally having a great start to the season. I know them both. I think they're probably fine in the locker room, et cetera. But how much does that weigh on a young guy to get off to? I mean, they want to play pro after this. Sure. They want to go on and play at the very worst in the East Coast Hockey League. And, hey, if they don't have any numbers this year, that might not happen.
Yeah, it gets challenging to do. Yeah, I mean, it's big, you know, and I think as seniors too, you know, I you know, we all went through it. You know, Mike York, obviously a little different level than myself and other guys, but it is, you know, you want to come in, you want to get off to a good start. You know, I think a lot of ways, and I know they had great summers, so it wasn't like they were sitting home saying, hey, this is going to be easy, but hey, I'm a senior now, it's my turn, I get to right. do this, and I get this opportunity, and it's going to, you know, the game's going to slow down, and it doesn't always work that way. Maybe the opposite of last year, where Diego had a ton of success early on, and Anthony Nellis had a great start early on. So, you know, it gets hard, and then you get in your own way. You become your own worst enemy with some confidence and lack of confidence and some doubt creeping in there. But, you know, I think they've done a decent job. You know, we do need a little bit more from those guys, and they're the first to, you know, say that or admit that. But, you know, I think they've turned the corner a little bit. They're playing better now, and, you know, that's part of it. You know, they've proven to us over time that they can play at this level and be very positive contributors to our lineup, and they're going to get some opportunities to work their way out of it. And as coaches, that's where we come in. It's really important that we're spending time with them, that we're rebuilding them, and you know, showing them what they are doing well, because there are some, you know, really good moments of their game, and you know, we need that from those guys to get going here. So you know, we hope that this will be the weekend they break out of it and, you know, start rebuilding their game.
Yeah, you know, it's so difficult. People are critical. They want to know why we're not winning games, why we're not keeping the puck out of our net. Defense was supposed to be the strength of this team. Why are we allowing so many goals, et cetera? But what can you do? I mean, you've only got so many players. You can try to insert some people, make some changes. Now, you've been forced to make a couple of changes. You've got Jacob Nordquist, who's a very valuable defensive player and an offensive defenseman who's out of the lineup with an injury. We're not sure when he'll return. We got Alex Samandel in for the first time all season last weekend. He didn't have a great weekend, but, you know, it's his debut, and he's going into a tough place against a really fast team that's hard for a young defenseman to handle. You got Seth Eisley still waiting in the wings to maybe try it in goal, but is Seth Eisley ready? You know, I mean, these are all decisions you have to make as the coaching staff, and there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, injuries are part of it. We all deal with it, and, you know, it started with Braden Gelsinger, obviously.
Right, there's another one.
Yeah, you know, and Gels is, your first, second line. He's a legitimate top six forward, ton of speed. So, you know, that changes your lineup. Guys are forced to play a little bit higher than maybe you'd like them to be, or the opportunity would be there for for them with Braden around and Jacob. You know, I think that was a bigger loss than we maybe anticipated going to the weekend. He's a very valuable team. We know how valuable he is, but maybe, you know, that was part of that the issues last weekend there. So, you know, it's opportunity for other guys to emerge. And, yeah, I mean, can you do a whole lot? We're going to make some changes structurally that we think can help us a little bit. You know, I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, these ways have people find out. But, you know, can help us do things a little bit better, make things easier, maybe on the goaltending, maybe on our decor. Again, you know, it's not one group. It's not one guy. This is a team issue. This is a coaching issue. And, you know, we're going to work our way through it. You know, we're going to work with our guys. I think, again, we've got a strong group. You know, I hope as a coaching staff, we relate well to our players and our players trust us. You know, we feel that, we believe that, and we believe in this team. And, you know, you just got to get going. You can talk all you want. You can point fingers. You become negative. You can point all that out. It doesn't matter. You have to go out and earn it. You know, same thing when you're talking to players, well, this or that. You can't talk about it. You can't come into my office and tell me, you know, I want this or I think that. You have to go earn it. And you have every day in practice to do it. So, you know, it's a good evaluation tool every single day to watch these guys battle, compete. You know, who's going to be the difference maker? Who's going to get going? How are you going to turn around if you're not happy with your play? You know, to build your confidence back up, to put the work in, to get going there a little bit. So, you know, all those things are in play. And again, I think we'll be fine. You know, not happy, you know, for sure. But Friday night's a new night. And, you know, we like our approach all week long. We like our group. We're going to have to be better defensively. That's where the answer is. Keep the puck out of our net, and then we can get this thing turned around and get going here.
All right, you're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning on ESPN 1400. We're going to take a break in the show. We'll be back right after this word from our sponsors.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. It's Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten talking about the Lakers. Getting ready for Michigan Tech coming in this weekend. You look at this team on paper, Damon. I think they're really good defensively. They block a lot of shots. Their goaltending's been outstanding. Their defensive stats are really good. They're like 13th in the nation in defensive statistics. But they have trouble scoring goals. Let's hope that doesn't end this weekend. They really have struggled to score, and I think that has something to do with what you said earlier. They've got a lot of young people in their lineup, and that'll probably come for them. Let's hope it's not this weekend. There'll be a tough chore for the Lakers, but we've got to get ready here, and I think home ice will help the Lakers quite a bit.
Well, it does start with them defensively. They've done a great job, and like I said, a lot like Bemidji, where they're going to outnumber you on retrievals and in their D-zone coverage, you know, very, very aggressive. If you got one there, they're sending two. If you've got two, they're sending three. If you've got three guys tight, they've got four or five tight. So it's really difficult to maintain puck possession and generate some chances against them because of the way they play. Again, our players are aware of that. We just saw it with Bemidji, a little bit with Ferris. So, you know, we're in that mode a little bit. It does reduce some of your grade A chances because you don't have that longer sustained offensive zone possession time, which is something I think we're pretty darn good at. So we've got to be, you know, patient in our approach and game, and, you know, it might be more of a transition game than we've, you know, like it to be, or it has been for us. And again, some areas we're going to make some adjustments on our end as well for our structure and what we're doing there. But they defend extremely well. You know, and like you said, this can't be a week and they break out. They're probably maybe looking at our stats and our numbers and saying this is a chance for us to get going there. And again, that's really our main focus, our main goal is to make sure that we're going to clamp things down defensively, you know, tighten up in some areas that we're not giving up chances. And, you know, and when your goaltending is not where they want to be, be and off to a tough start, that's kind of what you have to do. It has to be a total commitment to helping those guys rebuild by not giving up that one break or that, you know, even if it's a funnel or a bad area shot, you know, our attention to detail has to be outstanding with our standards and our habits, you know, to help our guys get back on track. And that's what we need, you know, for Friday night.
A lot of interesting things going on this weekend too. Dave Pateson's done a good job as athletics director, coming up with some marketing proposals, et cetera. He's got a thing going on Friday before the game with the president and the provost up in their boxes, their lofts up in the arena where people can come in. If you've got a ticket, you can go up and you're going to actually be there for a few minutes and talk to the fans who do show up for that event. And that's going to be at 5:30 on Friday before the game. And as long as you got a ticket, you can go on up there. They'd like to know in advance. So if you're listening to this and you want to go to that event, contact the alumni office or contact the athletics department. Let them know you're coming so they can plan on some food. There will be snacks there, et cetera. There'll be a cash bar. And that's kind of interesting. It gives fans a chance to meet the president and the provost at Lake Superior State and then hear a few words from you as well.
Yeah, it's a great event. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I've had a chance at Notre Dame to go down to our pregame event just shortly before the game as well. It's maybe it's some more insight into what the fans don't see. You know, we typically have a penalty kill meeting at 5:40. You know, before our game, we'll just go over last minute. We've already repped it during the week, obviously, and spent some time on video. Just a couple last minute reminders, and the team goes and does a dynamic stretch right after that penalty kill video, which is short, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, couple clips on the opposing goaltenders. And then from there, you kind of get out of their way. It's their players' time to focus and prepare themselves as they have done for so many years. So, you know, it's a little bit of a slow dead time for us at that time. So I'll get a chance to pop up and say hi to people, which is awesome. It's fun to do on a game night. You don't get that energy sometimes. You're kind of tucked below and don't see some of the things that are going on. So we're looking forward to that. You know, we also have a recruit in this weekend. We'll be able to talk about him very soon after he signs his NLI, which is going on right now. And, you know, that'll be good too. And then a couple more recruits early next week. So it's been a really busy recruiting time for us with a lot of visits around this NLI signing period here. And, you know, that'll add to our, you know, weekend as well to have him in and spending time with all those people. But we're looking forward to it. I also think there's a promotion. I believe if you wear blue, you get a reduced ticket of $2, I believe. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Obviously, Michigan Tech is a great UP rivalry, and we're looking forward to welcome them over here and a great weekend of college hockey.
Yes, we should mention that there is a $2 off on a ticket if you wear Laker blue and show up at the gate. These are walk-up tickets only. You can't get them in advance, and the ticket office does open 1 hour before game time. So starting at 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday, you can get $2 off on a ticket, whether it be adult or a kid's ticket or a student's ticket, just by wearing Laker blue. That's a promotion, again, of the Department of Athletics. So those are good things. They'll help maybe bring some fans in. Friday's been kind of slow this season with our fans. We've had great crowds on Saturday night, and that's a big part of things, too. You're playing at home this weekend. You're familiar with the ice. You're familiar with the boards. It's a Lakers rink, and you've had great fortune so far this season at home. 2 wins over Merrimack, 2 wins over Ferris State. We'd love to make it 2 wins over Michigan.
That's right. Yeah, we got to keep it rolling here. So, no, our fans obviously have a really big impact on the way we play and the energy in that building. You know, going back to the goal Ian Johnson set up in the second period there, Ferris, you know, to get that building alive and the student section going. So, yeah, no, we really hope people come out. I think it's the opener, right? Season opener there. So, you know, leave your stands and your cabins and camps and come on in for the games and, you know, enjoy some good hot college hockey action. But, no, we're excited to get back home. It's you know, it's been that, you know, traveling those 2 weeks down there felt like a long time, another long road trip. So guys are really, the players are really excited to be back at Taffy Able and looking forward to a great turnout this weekend.
Yeah, so far the Lakers are one of the teams that's played 12 games. There aren't very many that have played 12 games already, 4-8, which is not the start we wanted, but 6 of those games against really, really good competition. And I think that's what's so surprising to the negative side of things is last weekend. I don't think anybody expected. I thought we'd split at Bemidji, to tell you the truth, going into it at the very worst, and we end up getting thumped a couple of times. And I think that's where everybody's kind of concerned right now, is what's going on? Why do we get beat 7-1 and 5-1? And now we got Michigan Tech, and next weekend another tough road trip off to Bowling Green. That'll be a real tough time too. So, you know, we're just wondering about what's happening here. What's going on with Nordquist? Is he almost ready to come back, or is he still out this weekend?
You know what? We don't quite know yet. It's going to be game time decisions there, and so that was good news. You know, he's very close, and obviously, you know, if you can get him back and he's safe to play and not going to risk further injury, he's a guy you want back in your lineup, no doubt about it. So that was good news. I just found that out on yesterday on Wednesday, what that looked like. So good to know. And Braden's progressing. You know, he's on to some next phases of rehab. You know, we've got some different things to look at in terms of, you know, potential return dates for Braden or a possible redshirt. But if he can keep progressing as quickly as he has, I would imagine he'll look to get back in the lineup as soon as possible. So that's moving. Obviously, those are a couple guys you want in our lineup and make us, you know, a much deeper, much more complete team.
Michigan Tech in this weekend, that will be a little bit of a vengeance thing for them. The Lakers handled them pretty well last season. We had good fortune against Michigan Tech, and we generally play them four times every season. Beat them in the GLI for the championship last year, which was a big win too. So they'll have that little bit of whatever it is going for them this weekend too.
Yeah, you know, that's part of it at this age and the different you know, mental makeup of your players. You know, so they're certainly, I'm sure they've thought about that a little bit. Or it's been part of their approach, and I think same thing for us. You know, we want to guard against it. I felt like maybe Bemidji, same thing. You know, we swept them in the playoffs, and then they were pretty hungry. You know, and I think you and Mike talked Tuesday night that we were great Friday night to start. You know, two posts early on. Max Humitz had a great chance off a faceoff. Hampus had the rebound on it. I almost felt like that great start hurt us. Like, I think our guys felt like, you know, we're going to be all over these guys all night, and then you know, we couldn't respond when puck started getting the back of our net. So. You know, it'll be a little bit similar. You know, they're going to come in very hungry. It's so hard. It's such a fine line at this level of, you know, who can win on a given night. You know, again, everybody has to be ready. Everybody has to be dialed in. That's where the coaching comes into making sure we have the right personnel in the locker room, on the ice, and that motivationally our guys are ready to play here. So, you know, and this is a good group. Again, this locker room's in good shape. We've got tremendous student athletes in that room, very passionate about this program, you know, about Laker hockey and where we want to be. So there's no doubt we'll respond and have the guys ready to go, and that they'll have themselves ready to play, more importantly.
You know, this is an important time of year, too. You mentioned it a few moments ago. We've got some recruits coming in. We've had one in already. We're going to have more here. This is the signing time. I think it started on Wednesday, the signing date. And how are things looking there? I mean, are you happy with what you've got in the way of recruits, with the talent, with the ability, and also the possibility of signing them to get them to come here starting next year or in the near future?
Well, you know what the crazy thing is, and literally as we're talking this morning, Bill, I just got a text about another decommitment or pushback. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine. He's got four guys on his junior team right now that are all going through a decommitment, and whether that's pushback or, you know, I didn't ask for all the details, but it, you know, who knows? Like, it's so crazy right now in college hockey, and the transfer portal is just starting to get going here a little bit with a couple names in there as well. So yeah, no, I mean, I like our guys. I mean, there's a reason we go out there. We're really diligent in our approach, and you know, we like the details we approach our recruiting process with, finding the right players that fit you know, what we're trying to do on and off the ice. You know, tremendous locker room, high character. So no, we like where we're at. You know, you're never done, you never quite know. And I think in today's world, you see a lot of schools don't release anything anymore, because I think you know, it's got to be close to percentage wise where more kids don't end up at their initial school than they do. Like, it's so crazy right now out there. So, you know what, who knows, you know, what's going to happen or where it will go. But, you know, we're excited about the class we've had lined up for a while, some of those earlier commitments from down the road. And then, as you mentioned, we had one kid in already last week there, and I think three more in the next week or so. So it's a really busy recruiting time, and some of those pieces will help shape where our class goes and where we're at. But, you know, we like where we're at with that. And, you know, we'll keep working hard to make sure we're making our program as strong as possible.
How are the rules right now regarding NCAA, et cetera, when a kid signs a national letter of intent, when he's already signed to it and then he decommits, does he still have to sit a year? Can you force him to sit a year, or can he go back and then play junior if he's eligible age-wise to play junior and free himself up from his NLI by doing that? Is that something a lot of these young people do now?
We'd probably have to use our hour Tuesday to get through some of that, because there are a lot of different scenarios. You know, like with hockey being the delayed enrollment and the junior option, there are some avenues where that that helps guys get out of that NLI. It depends if you have applied to school. All these kids typically appeal it, so they all have the right to appeal to the NCAA, asking, you know, stating their case of why they should be released from their NLI, and the school can, you know, will respond accordingly and things like that. So there's a lot of different layers to it and a lot of different rules. You know, you go back to Cooper Zeck last year. I mean, he tried to do it at Ferris State, and they held him to it. He went in, played the 1 year, had a great year. I'm not sure what that looked like locker room wise or things like that, because that's a little bit of a challenging thing as well. But a lot of layers to it, and you know, it's really you know, changed college hockey. And I do know it's not a healthy thing for these young student athletes. I don't think it's a healthy thing for our programs, but everybody's facing it, everybody's doing it, you know. So you're fielding calls when you talk to your colleagues, you know, they're kind of testing the waters to see what you're looking for. They might almost try to trade you a guy, saying, well, like, hey, I'm not sure we're going to be able to bring him in with our numbers. Like, it's you're shaking your head here, and it's messy, it's ugly, and we're not in a good spot. I think the you know, the recent rules with delaying recruiting and verbals, that's going to help slow this down and clean it up a little bit, but we're not there quite yet, because there was so much going on the last couple of years with the early commitments and things like that. So it's an ugly world right now, and it's our reality. And you know, we're obviously, as you know, we've tried to not go down that path of getting 25, 30 verbals like some schools have done. I don't think that's a way, you know, we want to operate Laker hockey, but it's challenging because of all the stuff that's going on, for sure.
Yeah, we're
going
to spend about a half hour on this on one of our Laker hockey shows. There's so much to it, and I think it's a very big area of interest for fans. We have a lot of astute fans who follow what's going on with recruiting and who's coming in and how much better you might be with so-and-so coming in off such and such a team. And it's all important, and there's a lot of tampering going on. There's players being talked to who've signed NLIs. This stuff's under the table, and man, we could talk half an hour easy on that on a Laker hockey show. We'll do that in the future. We're out of time here this morning, though. Damon, good luck against Michigan Tech this weekend. Don't forget those promotions, $2 off on a ticket if you wear Laker blue and walk up to buy your ticket before the game, either night, Friday or Saturday. And don't forget that little visit with the coach and with the president and the provost on Friday at 5:30 up at the President's Loft in Able Arena. Damon, good job.
All right, thank you, Bill. Have a great Thursday out there, and good luck to those going out for the opener. But we hope to see you all Friday, Saturday. Thank you. Go Lakers.
All righty, that's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.